This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Buy it. Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it.
Hello and welcome to Technogaze, the show where we look into the past, observe the present, and gaze into the future of technology. I'm your host, Mark Powney, and hosting with me is Brendan Law. Hello,
hi.
Brendan.
How's it going?
And also in the studio with us is Paul Miguel, who you may know from such shows as Global Sounds.
Oh, don't name them all. They're take all night.
The Odd Spot on Friday Night Frequency, I believe.
Oh, there's even more. There's I've forgotten what I've done.
We won't go.
That's not good.
Good going.
But speaking of behind the scenes, the people who usually listen to behind the scenes at this time, they have moved to Sundays afternoon, 5 o'clock. So we're relaxing on a Sunday afternoon listening to Behind the Scenes. Okay. And also like to thank Bridget for another safe drive home on the camper van, Glenn for the news, and Robert on the desk, where he can be reached 96992949 if you have any questions during the show.
Tonight on Technogaze, we will start off with the latest technology news. We will be discussing three major operating systems used in today's smartphones: Windows Mobile, Google Android, and the iPhone. Paul will be reviewing the HTC Touch mobile phone. I will give you a rundown of how both the Australian and the US governments are using new online media, pre- and post-election. And Brendan will give us some advice on how to choose an internet service provider. This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
So, this week in the news... Section 92A is a law that was about to be introduced in New Zealand. Last week, a bunch of New Zealand websites and Twitter users and Facebook users blacked out their profile pictures. You may have seen it with some of your friends. The blackout was in protest over a law which would allow recording industry people or copyright holders to request that ISPs remove repeat copyright infringers. So, and they didn't actually have to prove that that happened, so it was kind of like guilt upon accusation.
Right.
So there was a lot of actual high-profile support from the likes of Stephen Fry, who also blacked out his Twitter profile.
Oh, okay. Wow. In what is said to be a relief for all internet users of Australia, a recent decision by Independent Senator Nick Xenophon has effectively scuttled the internet censorship plans here in Australia.
Yay.
Introduced by the Labor government. The Independent joined the Greens and the Liberal Party in opposition to the proposal, ensuring that once a vote is taken in Parliament, it will be defeated in the Senate. After originally supporting the plans due to the possibility of restricting access to gambling websites, maintaining his strong anti-gambling stance, Nick Xenophon performed an about-face, citing evidence released that the more research performed into the viability of the plans, the more questions are raised. The events unfolded just as a new survey commissioned by online advocacy group GetUp found that just 5% of respondents believed ISPs should be responsible for protecting children online, and 4% believe that the government should be responsible.
I think the parents should be responsible.
Too right.
Anyway, and today Optus announced that it's joining iNet and several smaller telcos in offering Naked DSL.
Ooh.
Naked.
It's nothing like that.
I'll tell you about that later.
And it allows people to connect to ADSL broadband without actually having a fixed phone line. Because up to now, Optus and still Telstra, for you to get the ADSL, you also have to get the
landline.
And with mobile plans now offering hundreds of dollars worth of calls for less than $50, and tech-savvy Australians making calls over the internet connections, the need for landline is being reduced dramatically. Now, people think that you're still going to have landline for quite a while, but slowly everybody's going through voice over IP, or the VoIP phones where they use internet for communications. So there's only, actually up to now, if you're a cable subscriber, you didn't obviously didn't have to get the phone because you could just get it through cable. It was not until November 2007 when iNet started serving offering naked DSL. That was the first time. So it's taken Optus just over a year to actually recognize it was a good move.
They probably still make them a lot of money through their phone business anyway.
Right, because people still want to use phones, so they either use the mobile, because I think that's what some people are doing. They get the naked DSL and then use mobile for all their phone calls.
Yeah, I guess I don't have any need for a landline because my mobile phone is capped anyway. So
right.
Anyway.
Okay. A new technique to process images has revealed a previously hidden extrasolar planet in an 11-year-old image from the Hubble Space Telescope.
Ooh.
Astronomers are hoping to find perhaps as many as 100 in the vast archives of images taken by the telescope.
And Microsoft has taken out a lawsuit against TomTom for infringing on patents. The suit, filed in the US District Court of Seattle, alleges that TomTom have infringed on 8 patents with their in-car GPS devices. The patents Microsoft hold claim to are across a variety of technologies, including a method and system for generating driving instructions and vehicle computer systems with wireless internet connectivity. Microsoft have stated that they have filed suit only as a last resort after a year's worth of negotiation attempts with TomTom. However, some reports suggest the real motive behind the suit is in fact retaliation for TomTom's recent rejection of a buyout bid from Microsoft. There is also heavy activity in many online forums regarding the particular suit, as it is seen as Microsoft's first direct attack against a Linux-powered device.
Stay tuned to the channel. More to come, I'm sure. You're listening to TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9. Coming up shortly, we'll have our main discussion and talk about smartphones.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9, and you can contact us on via SMS on 0427-JOY949, and you can also email us on air at joy.org.au. Now, before we go any further, I thought we should probably spend a quick minute introducing ourselves. I am Mark Pounty. My background is in software development, particularly online web development, and I'm, of course, a Joy member and a volunteer for the past 2 years. And I've also assisted in Joy's online web presence. Brennan.
My name is Brennan, and also known as Flamer or FlamerNZ on various internet forums or whatever. I remember being super excited about my first computer. It was a green screen, and I pulled a sickie from primary school to go home and use it, but my dad actually wouldn't let me use it. It was annoying.
Oh, really?
I joined the world of the internet sometime later on a blazing fast 33.6k modem on a 486, and that's where I came up with my name, and I became a regular on IRC chat. Now I'm Tico Propellerhead / Fixer for a Microsoft Gold partner here in Melbourne, where I get the opportunity to try out lots of new software from Microsoft. And I've recently become a Joy member, a volunteer, and a Melbourneian.
Well, I think I'm older than the two of you put together. I started in IT back in the early to mid-80s.
Wow, there was IT back then?
Yes, we had mainframes, green screens, and... You know, when the first PC came along, I was ready. I developed an application all by myself. I was very proud.
Was it Hello World or something?
Punch card?
No. It was actually to control a order desk for a bakery.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway.
That's kind of nice.
That was many years ago. Since then, I've sort of moved from development, and I'm now a systems analyst, which allows me, I understand both the technical world and the business world, and I can speak both languages.
So you're a translator? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And with my accent, I can
perfect
any language. Exactly. What I like to do actually is to take the scary acronyms in technology and explain to people in everyday terms.
It might be good. Sometimes we get carried away. That's
yes, right. And I'll stop you sometime mid-sentence if you start going too technical and we need to explain.
Good.
Excellent. All right, well, now to our... our first topic, which is the comparison of smartphone operating systems, the Windows Mobile, the Google Android, and the iPhone. Now, it's possible that a lot of us may not know what the Google Android is, so I thought I'd ask the question first, Brendan. What is the Google Android?
Well, Android's a new smartphone operating system which has been developed by Google. It is designed with a custom application support in the fore, and the SDK has been available for creating your applications on top of it for some time for free.
Okay, so is it an actual phone, or is it just a...
At the moment, it's just an operating system. There have been a couple of models released as well.
Oh, right.
None in Australia as yet, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, it's an operating system looking for a phone.
Yeah.
Usually you have the phone, then you have the operating system.
But we're discussing the operating system, though. We're not discussing the phone.
This is true.
Okay, so it's kind of useless, but okay. So if we explain what the Android is all about, maybe you can get some manufacturer to...
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes. If there are any manufacturers out there listening and want to send me a Google Android phone, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Send me one too.
No, Mark doesn't have one. Doesn't
anyway, offer. Mark, you're going to talk about the... iPhone.
The iPhone, which is really a phone and an operating system all in one nice, neat package.
Well, it's typical Apple. You could get everything as a bundle.
Yes.
And everything actually works together.
Very controlled and very, you know, this is how you do it and this is, you know,
this is how much you pay for it.
That's right. Cha-ching.
It's my way or no way.
Yes. And you're on Windows Mobiles, I think.
Yes,
Paul.
Windows Mobile, and it looks like a typical... Well, it doesn't look, but it works like a typical Windows computer.
Right.
I haven't seen the blue screen yet, but I'm sure it's bound to happen sometime soon.
Someday.
It's basically the same way.
So with the Windows Mobile, how do you use it? What's the first thing that you do when, like, the interface, you know, is it like the... You know, is it a start menu?
Well, there is, you know how in the Windows at the bottom there's a start button at bottom left corner?
Yes.
Well, in the phone it's actually top left corner.
Oh, right.
They moved it.
Oh. Just,
but my,
I'm not sure I can handle that.
Yes. Well, I should also explain, and I'm going to talk in more detail about the phone that I use. It's the HTC Touch Cruise.
Ah, yes, later on.
Which doesn't have a keyboard. It's all touchscreen.
Right.
So if I would just touch start and I get a list... As you would in a Windows PC,
mm-hmm.
And get different options, programs set up, and so forth.
Right. The iPhone, of course, has a dock icon interface where you, similar to, I guess, your Mac computer, where it's got a dock down the bottom of all your programs that you commonly use, and then another interface up above that, which is all of the icons, all of the applications that you have installed, and it actually, in fact. Lets you swap from screen to screen just by flicking the screen with, because it's a touch screen, obviously. So
okay,
yeah, it's quite handy.
Well, all I've had to do, play with the Android is a little emulator, so all I can go on is what's based on my computer here.
That's but right. Hardware vendors, send them in.
Yeah, that's right. Send them right in. So there's kind of like a home screen where it has like a clock, and you'd imagine standby apps and little notifications would appear. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a number of four shortcut keys along the bottom to get to your most used apps, and then there's a menu button down the bottom that flies out the full extension of your programs and all the features that you'd expect with a phone.
So it's a bit like the start button.
No, it's like a menu button. Nothing like a start
button. It's a start button by another name. It doesn't say start, but, you know, the fact that you click on it or press on it to get access to the...
Okay, it's like a start.
Okay.
Fine.
You didn't have to admit to that. Anyway, and so in the iPhone, if you want to send an SMS, what's...
Well, it's just an application, really. It's just one of those icons that you get to click on. You can customize it so it's in your dock, the SMS function, and you can press the button, and the SMS, it first asks you who you want to send the SMS to, so it looks at your address book, as any phone would, I guess, and then it presents the SMSs in a chat-like format, so it actually shows the history of previous SMSs.
Now, that's something I do like about the iPhone.
Yeah, it's quite handy that way, because that way you've got context to the SMS that you're trying to send.
Because sometimes you can't forget what you sent them last time. Yeah. And then they send this really nasty text message, like,
oops. So, the Android is similar, or...?
Well, I was just trying to find the text messaging thing there, and I couldn't, but I would
assume...
Okay,
while you're doing that, I can talk about the Windows one. There are several ways.
Yes.
In this particular phone, there's one of the buttons, bottom right corner, is contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can click on contacts, you get a list of your contacts, and go from there and send the text message.
Nice.
Or you can start programs, find the text message program and do the same thing. Or, again, it depends, because with the Windows you can have different interfaces.
Yes.
So that your screen has different functions as a default.
Right.
One of them, is actually in this particular way, the way that I have it, is you can just click on the, or press an area, and you get a list of all the SMSs that you've done in the past.
Right. How about applications? Is it easy with the Windows Mobile to install applications? Is that something that you can do just out of the box? Or
yes. Well, it's the same thing as adding an application to your PC.
Right.
Obviously, you have to have it connected to your PC.
Mm-hmm,
actually,
yes.
That's it. And then you download the zipped file or whatever method. And then when you have to import it to the phone.
Yes.
And then double-click or start or what have you.
And next. Install location. Or is it?
No, it goes by default
installs
into
okay,
program. Because it has the same folder structure as a PC. So it has a program files. And then you will install it. And in Windows, you can subscribe to their newsletter, which has all the latest
that's cool.
Things that they have for the phone.
Mm, right.
And also the company that sells you the actual phone, in this case the HTC,
yes.
They also have hot fixes and things,
mm-hmm,
which
right.
usually works, because when you plug the phone, it works as if it was any drive, and you have all the different folders,
right?
And then you can move things in and out.
Right.
That's handy.
I guess with the iPhone, it's very controlled by Apple. They've got the App Store.
Actually, why are they called Apple? Shouldn't they be called Big Brother?
Not as bad as... anyway, I'm not going to...
Yeah, no, don't go there.
Let's not digress. The App Store provides you everything you need, and it's all available from the phone itself. So you can click on the App Store application, and it allows you to browse all the applications that have been uploaded by whoever are providing them. So it's something that's controlled by Apple, and in fact, they will deny certain types of applications from being sold or available from that App Store, being if they basically duplicate existing functionality, like a web browser or an email client, then they'll typically remove those from the App Store. But apart from that, it's actually, you've got a myriad of applications you can choose from. Anything from,
I Am Rich. No, that one got removed.
Oh, that's right, yes.
That's available for the Android now, actually. I Am Richer.
Is it for the same price, or is it more expensive?
No, the one on Android is only $200, but the one on the store was $1,000, apparently.
I guess for those of you that don't know what this is, it was application.
It was Blue Spinning Diamond. It was like a screensaver, but it was $1,000 on iPhone Store. It did absolutely nothing.
But
apparently a bunch of people bought it anyway. I think that's brilliant. If you're a developer, you write this simple piece of code, sell it for $1,000 just to prove it, it's like a status symbol, and people will buy it.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, security... does it work in the iPhone?
Well, the iPhone is actually based on the Mac OS X operating system.
So it's impregnable.
So
if somebody found your phone, turned it on, well, are we challenged to enter a password?
You can set it up that way so that it's got a PIN and that sort of thing. And I guess with security, it's all Unix-based. So because you actually get a Wi-Fi connection as well with your iPhone, you can... You can connect to things over the internet, and obviously people can connect to you as well, and that causes possible security flaws. But anyway, because it's Unix-based, it's actually quite solid. You don't hear of many attacks against iPhones anyway. I haven't heard too much about the Android.
Well, that's because it's only just got into the wild.
Yes, it hasn't even made it.
But, the SDK being available means that there's a lot of applications being developed.
Right.
And the Android Market, the online store for the Android, has only just introduced pricing for their for their applications.
Yep.
So now developers can write code for them and actually sell them on the Android store. So
be compensated for the work.
Yeah, I expect to be seeing a lot more stuff coming out for it soon.
Very good.
Yeah, I have, because my phone happens to be a company phone, I can't install anything I want, so I haven't actually spent much time looking at all different applications.
Mm.
And it comes with Office applications, Word, Excel, and PDF Reader and all that,
yep.
which I rarely. Well, actually, I've never used. Okay, I'll admit it's never used.
Oh, it'll be absolutely pathetic trying to read a PDF document on that screen anyway.
Well, the screen's almost the size of a credit card. So
yeah, but you have to reflow it and jiggle it all around so you actually get the information.
Well, yes, it's meant for emergency, Brandon. It's not for everyday use.
Emergency PDF reading. When you're standing at the airport and there's a queue of 100 people
bored.
Behind you.
Your mind.
Oh, that's an emergency, yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Exactly. Anyway, there's so much we could talk about smartphones, but we must move on.
Yes. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9 and TechnoGaze with Paul, Mark and Brendan. And next up, we have a review of the HTC Touch mobile phone. Paul.
Yes, the... Well, the HTC is, as speaking earlier, talking. It's one of those smartphones, and I've had before. I had the Nimate, which actually I found out afterwards was actually made by HTC.
Huh.
It was just rebranded.
Same stuff, just
yes.
Different.
Yeah, and apparently, everybody thought that Nimate had died, but apparently they just had a new phone release. I think it's made by somebody else. So I think that contract with HTC went bad.
They like rebranding.
Yes,
might do. Yeah,
that's all they do. Like, yeah. Yes.
Put some crap, put a different name on it.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, highlights of the HTC Cruise, which now I think it's two generations behind, so long, it's no longer the latest, because they have the new one hasn't been released here, which the name just escapes me now, but it's meant to be all the latest functionality. I have a few problems with this phone, which I'll talk about later, but sort of talking about the start, the... It's a multimedia experience, so it's got everything. It's got a very large 2.8-inch touch screen.
Mm. And it's like 2.8 inches.
I know.
That's plenty.
I know. Hey, it's more than I used to have in my Nokia. So, it's got the touch flow, touch screen technology, which allows you to use a finger to sort of move things around on the screen. You can run your screen up and down.
Is that smooth when you do that? Like, is it when you know, maybe pick up an icon or something like that? I assume that's what you'd be doing. Is it something that, you know, is nice and smooth to
yes,
operate?
Yes. You know, Free Cell, the game that comes with computer,
yes,
it comes in the phone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's got the little cards. And I can use my fingertip and move it around.
Yeah, right.
Quite easily, yes.
Okay, and it doesn't, like, you don't see it refreshing the screen?
No.
Very good.
The only issue as far as, I guess, refreshing is sometimes, you know, you press something or with your finger on something and nothing happens.
Right.
So I don't know whether it's a touch screen that hasn't realized that I've pressed it or that Windows is sort of...
Loading.
Yes.
Yeah, it's loading.
So you don't know because there's no way of telling you. But
yep.
So it's got... The other thing that's unique to the HTC is the what they call the 3D touch cube. Mm-hmm. Is when you run your finger from the bottom, the center of the screen up, this cube comes up.
Oh, yes.
And you can have your favorite 9 phone numbers. So you can have people's photos... And just click on that and dials the number for quick dial.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you can sort of scroll your thumb and move the other side of the cube. It's only a three-face cube. I don't know.
It's not really a cube.
No, I know. But they call it a cube. Where you can have like shortcuts to your favorite programs. And the other one is for media. So if you want to go to your MP3 player or your video or your album, sort of that. So that's just a quick way to get
move
to things.
Yeah.
It's a 3G phone. It's got GPRS, which is the for data transfer, GSM. It's got all the latest technologies.
All the acronyms.
Yes. Mm. And it also has the direct push email.
Right.
Which is, if you're connected to, it's usually work with a Microsoft Exchange server where your email is run and it'll send it to your phone. You don't have to actually load up or sort of try to get the message. It'll come.
It just comes straight through.
It just comes at you.
Notifies you as well, does it?
Yes. Yeah, right. It notifies that you've received an email. And it's got a camera, 3 megapixels.
Mm-hmm.
Works really well if it's a nice, bright, sunny day. If the light's not so good, not so
grainy.
Good. And one thing actually works well is the built-in GPS navigation.
Yeah.
Which I think is based on TomTom maps. Which yes.
Yeah. Being sued.
All in all, it's not bad because I've compared it to two others at the same time. I had 3 GPSs running on this trip to Dalesford.
Mm.
And the TomTom twice asked us to turned left when there was no road. So it's really scary. But anyway, it's not a bad GPS.
The only thing I've found about those GPS systems is you can never use them like in, if you're in the middle of a city and you're trying to find like a bar or something. It doesn't work with all the tall buildings. Have you found that with your one?
I haven't walked around in the city like driving. I don't remember if I've actually driven in the city while.
Okay.
Actually, I have. Yes, I have. No, it's been fine.
Okay. Cool.
I guess it depends on the, where the satellite is positioned.
Right.
I found with my TomTom that it can cut out a bit sometimes, but that's not a phone, obviously, so it might not be set up for sort of walking around use, whereas a phone might well.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be more handy if you could, you know, navigate wherever you were. Yeah,
and actually, sidetracking just a bit, there's a new system. I think it's a part of a phone where you can, say, park your car and go to GPS, you know, park here.
Yes.
So it remembers where your car is parked, and you can go around, and then when you want to go find your car, just say, find
the
car.
Take me back to my car.
If you take me back to my car, it'll guide you through wherever you are. To
a little sonar beep.
That's awesome.
Never mind, this, a friend of mine lost his car for 3 days, and it was just outside his house. Because he thought it had been stolen from somewhere else.
Oh, no.
But anyway, so it's got the GPS, and entertainment has the FM radio, MP3 player, video playback, and games as well. So you can have games and operating system. It's mobile 6. Mm-hmm. Network, it works basically with every network around the world.
Mm. Does it have Wi-Fi at all?
Yes, it does have
it does. So
Wi-Fi.
You can connect to your normal internet.
That's correct.
Connection.
Any wireless network.
Yep.
Yeah, and it actually works. I've tried it.
Right.
It also has a Bluetooth FM radio. I've mentioned that. It's got the camera, audio, battery is... actually, the battery is not too bad. The other HTCs that people have at work, they complain the battery runs out really quickly. But this one's not too bad. I'll probably have to charge it once a week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a heavy user,
yeah.
Except for the free sale games. Yeah.
Do you play music on it much?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
But the only thing... is that it has the 2.5 millimeter headphone jack.
That's so annoying.
Oh.
Yes, which means you can only hear or listen to it if you're carrying the... Which also has a built-in phone functionality, so it's got a microphone and
yep.
everything. Now, the only thing... now, for people who haven't actually used a touch phone, there's no keyboard.
Yes.
So when you want to do a function that requires a keyboard, like a text message... you have a selection of keyboard. This one has 5 different types of keyboards.
So it comes up on the screen, does it?
That's right.
Run.
My favorite one is where it's very similar to a regular keyboard, except instead of one letter per key, it's got 2 letters.
Right.
It's just like the BlackBerry.
Yes. Mm. And it takes up about 2/3 of the screen if you want that large. And you can have the small one. It only takes probably 1/3 of the screen. Yep. But that one, you need the stylus. Mm-hmm. And it looks exactly... It's laid out exactly like a keyboard.
Oh, okay.
But it's very tiny square, so you need the stylus for that.
Very good.
And so the only thing that's wrong with it is that if you need to enter the password, the phone tends to dim. And if you're outside, you can't see where the letters are.
Like trying to hide it under your hand and that sort of thing. Which I found BlackBerries are notorious for that as well. But anyway, that's another story.
Another story. Yeah.
We'll have to do BlackBerry some other time. Overall, it's not a bad phone. You can actually make phone calls on them. And obviously, do talk about everything that it does. But it's got a few quirky things that I'm not too happy about. If I was to buy another one, I wouldn't go with HTC. I'll try to find something else.
Excellent. Well, this is Joy 94.9, Techno Gaze, and a quick shout out to Adam and Stu, who are listening in. Thank you for your messages to the SMS line, 0427-JOY949. You can also email us on onair@joy.org.au.
We like messages. We knew.
And we will soon have our blog page going. It's all set up, but there's nothing in it yet.
We've got no content.
Soon. Coming soon.
Well, you could have content before you had the show.
We'll put those under construction signs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. And also, we'll have a podcast of the show. So if you miss any bits of it, or if you just, if you're away for 1 week, you can always subscribe through iTunes. But that's not set up yet.
We'll be sure.
It's coming. Yes. So under construction.
It's under construction.
Yeah.
Join 94.9, Technogaze.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9, Techno Gaze. Brand new show on Joy here. If you are looking for behind the scenes, it has moved to Mondays at 5 p.m, and after us will be the Sports Lounge.
Excellent.
Mark, you have something to tell us about the internet or media used by...
By governments. Yes, by both the Australian and US governments. So I just thought I'd give us a bit of a recap of what's been happening in the past, because it's an interesting thing how governments use the internet for, you know, dissemination of information and that sort of thing. And I guess the whole concept of Web 2.0 is finally... you know,
seeping through public servant brains.
That's right, yeah. Although some of them are stuffing it up, but anyway. So I thought I'd start off with what happened in the Australian federal election back in 2007, which is where we first saw new media used in election campaigns here in Australia. The Australian Labor Party started a YouTube channel, which at the time was pretty unheard of here in Australia, what with the general backwardness of the government of the day. The ALP kicked off with a number of YouTube clips, which were in fact the ads seen on TV, such as the one where Kevin Rudd described himself as an economic conservative, which was one that was memorable in my mind anyway, and the John Howard has been asleep on climate change ad, where he's snoring away in the bed. The first ad that was uploaded to YouTube in July 2007, and... out of all the videos that were uploaded, the one with the highest views was a 2-minute Tell Kevin Rudd video with a current total of 106,954 views and 159 comments. Of course, YouTube wasn't all good news for Kevin Rudd back in 2007. There was the now infamous earwax snack video, where he was caught on camera in Parliament Question Time eating something that he picked straight from his left ear. The video, which was uploaded back in April 2007, has now accumulated over 397,914 views and 734 comments. So
it can be good and it can really be bad.
Bad, yes. I guess it depends on whose side you're on, really.
Yes.
So that was more than double that the highest viewed ALP video had. One could argue that this video was far more effective in propagating, since there wasn't actually any official Liberal Party campaign actively promoting it. They just relied on word of mouth to get it out there. Now, no one, of course, could really miss the last year's US election, and I know a lot of us were happy that President Obama was elected. And a large contributing factor to his election was the amount of money raised during the campaign. By choosing to reject public funding, Obama was able to shake the campaign spending limits imposed upon those who accept public funding. And he obviously had faith in the power of the masses and was very successful in obtaining unprecedented amounts of money. He did this by being the first presidential candidate to accept donations, no matter how small, from a secure online payment website. While it was not being disclosed how much money was secured online, it was reported that over half of the $650 million US dollars raised came from increments of $200 or less. So that was all from just people entering their credit card details on the website.
Yes, McCain, on the other hand, he went for the traditional way of taking money from the government, and his total raise was, minuscule.
I think there's a maximum of 84 million or something like that, as opposed to the...
84 million.
Yeah.
It's been on an election campaign rather than fixing the country.
Money raising wasn't the only use of online media for Obama's campaign. A while into the campaign, they created a website that enabled dissemination of factual information to counter the smear campaign being forged by proponents of the opposing party. They called this website Fight the Smears. Obama's main website, BarackObama.com, was full of lots of Web 2.0 functions as well, including online video via YouTube and other providers, and a login section called MyBarackObama.com, which oddly was named MyBO for short. And it's still there today. The campaign even provided links to supporters' mobile phones, offering text message updates on the campaign and information on events taking place in local areas. And also included in their phone offering was an iPhone application. Excuse me.
Yes, behave.
Which was, it was quite unique in its abilities. One of its key features was its ability to search your phone book and find friends who are in key battleground states and let you call them to promote Barack's campaign.
Oh, so it was like an automatic dialing device?
Well, kind of. It
obviously, spamming machine.
You had to opt into it. You said, okay, I want to do this now. So, you know, I want to support the new illustrious leader.
Right.
Also included in the apps, in the app, the iPhone app was features to receive updates, news, and information on local events, and find local local campaign contacts.
I must admit that's pretty cool how they've really got into the technology of that thing and kind of
Because if I was create an iPhone app.
If I was an American geek with an iPhone, I'd be like, sweet, I'll get that
just for kicks.
Just because it's cool and new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the first weekly address of President Obama announced their new website, recovery.gov. So this is after the...
recovering from the campaign, is it?
Probably, or recovering from the previous president, perhaps. It contains easy-to-follow information about how and where American tax dollars are being spent. And I have to say, I wish the Australian government were to take a leaf out of that book. So... it had information on major, like it had a, basically, a, it has a graph, in fact, of eight main categories, being tax relief, state and local fiscal relief, infrastructure and science, protecting the vulnerable, healthcare, education and training, energy, and of course the catch-all called other.
Yes, and also Obama is the first president to use email.
On his BlackBerry,
Exactly. It was issues with the security. They had to reinforce the security on the BlackBerry. But just the fact that he's using email, and the reason the previous presidents didn't use email is because email can be subpoenaed as if it was a piece of paper.
Oh, yes.
The difference being a piece of paper, you can burn or destroy it. Once you send an email, it's in so many servers all over the world, depending on how it got there, that it's much easier to actually track down contents of the email.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Exactly. So watch out.
This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9. We've had a few SMSs and messages in, thank you to Simon. Your question about GPS units, we will be covering in a later show.
Stay tuned.
So, yes, do stay tuned. And we got another SMS from Dan.
From Dan, who has a wireless USB modem, and he wants to share it wirelessly within his house with his flatmates, I assume, or someone else. So there's a couple of ways you can do this. You can actually buy a wireless device, which your USB modem plugs into. Mm. So that means that you can have your wireless shared throughout the house without having a computer turned on. Alternatively, if you haven't got, if you don't want to buy one of those devices, you can leave one of your computers running and use internet connection sharing within Windows.
Yes.
If you've got a Windows device, that is.
Yes.
You will have to leave your computer running for your for the other computers in the house to be able to go through
that. So the best way is to get the is it
I'd
router?
Recommend. Yeah, it's just quite a small wireless router device.
Okay.
You get. I'm trying to look up the model number for it now. So when I do, I'll put that on the blog.
Okay, we'll put that on the blog.
You'll be able to find us on the Joy website as well. If you go to joy.org.au and go to the program section, find us in the program grid.
Mondays at 7.
7 o'clock, which is the time now, funnily enough.
No, actually, it's not. 7 minutes to 8.
Oh, is it? so Brendan, you've got some advice on...
So kind of following on from that, I'm going to do a really quick run through.
Yes.
So how to choose an ISP? This is a question that I recently had to answer myself because I'm a new arrival into Melbourne. Yeah. So I did a bit of shopping around and found out what was available in my area, whether I can get ADSL or ADSL2, mm-hmm. Whether I can get cable, or whether I can only really get wireless or mobile broadband.
Right.
So that's the first thing you need to find out is what's available.
Or you could go dial-up, I guess.
What is this dial-up you talk of? Nobody goes dial-up anymore.
Things beep.
If you've got internet on dial-up, please turn it off. Throw out your modem and get a new one. Anyway, the next thing you want to determine is how much data you're going to use.
Yes.
Are you going to be downloading a lot of music? Are you going to be streaming a lot of videos? You want something with a big cap. Something like the TPG plans where you get 150 gig or Exatel plans like that. Maybe you're just an email and web surfer, occasional Facebook user, and you don't need very much data at all. Or if you're a person who runs around with the computer a lot and wants to use the internet on the tram and stuff like that, then you definitely want to get a USB device that you can plug into your computer and just take wherever you like.
Yep.
And then you'll have to think about what type of hardware you need, whether you need a USB modem, whether you want to pay for it, whether you want wireless to share around your house as well, and how much those things are going to cost.
It's too hard. Well, I guess there's just so many options. It would be good if actually the company streamed line things and just like...
Well, if you go to the... If you Google Whirlpool, there's a Whirlpool broadband chooser which will actually help you choose your ISP.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Is that, which is that Whirlpool.com, is it?
It's at... Please hold the line. bc.whirlpool.net.au.
I think we'll put that on our blog as well.
Put that on the blog as well. Yeah,
so what definitely. Can you do at Whirlpool? Is it...
Whirlpool's essentially like a website, for a forum essentially, for that people discuss Australian ISPs, and it's great for kind of keeping them in line, I guess.
Very good. And does it offer a possibility of looking up your phone line and that sort of thing for availability of your services or anything like that?
I don't know, actually. I know that a number of ISPs actually allow you to do that on their website as well.
Right, so it'd probably provide links to different websites
definitely.
As well.
Yeah. And a view of each of the ISPs and what they're like.
Right.
So I guess it's like anything else that you want to buy beforehand, you have
shop
to have
around.
An idea.
Definitely.
You have an idea of what you want.
Yep.
Whether you want, if you're going to download a lot of data. So if you listen to a lot of podcasts, like Joy has many broadcasts.
Yeah, that you want to definitely want to download.
You want to download. So that's a lot of data that's being downloaded, and it'll cost you. Also, the ABC iView channel, which is, if you want some show you missed, you can watch through the internet.
And sometimes
high quality.
Yep. And the iView service is sometimes unmetered as well. So, if you're worried about your caps or whatever, you can always just watch a TV show on ABC and not have to worry about your caps.
Yeah, because ABC is negotiating with some internet providers to be unmetered.
Yes.
With Telstra is still metered. So, I went with a no cap. Well, no cap. I can download whatever I want. But when it gets to 12 gig in a month, it slows down to 64 kilobytes, which is
that's painful. Yeah. It's like dial-up.
Going from cable to about 2 gig to, 2 meg to 64K, it's
painful.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have to say with iNet, that's unmetered iView, so that's quite handy to, if I've missed a show on ABC, my favourite shows on ABC, then I...
Yeah,
well, on Exatel, I get like 60 million gigabytes or something. I don't know. It's lots, and it's cheap, so it's good.
Gigabytes, what are they?
It's like a gigabyte, but better. More jiggly.
But it's... I wonder if there's a different... I've always been with Telstra, and now it's pretty stable, but it was painful at the beginning.
Really?
Just wondering whether a smaller company would probably be much more flexible in adopting new... like iNet was the first one to have ADSL, naked ESL, that we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Where Telstra obviously protecting its other services.
Mm. Yeah, and in fact, Internode have just started offering fibre to the node. Fibre to the home, in fact. So,
really? Could you explain what that is?
Well, it's fibre optics instead of just a standard copper line into your... You've normally got a copper phone line into your
house.
How
awesome would it be having a gigabit internet
connection? I know, and that's... I don't think they're offering gigabit. I think it's up to 100 megabits, but that's still pretty damn good, if you ask me. It's quite expensive, but it's only to newer states. They're starting it up in newer states over in Adelaide, which is where they're based.
Oh, so. Because they're installing new infrastructure. Is it new neighborhoods, I suppose?
Yes, mm. new.
So they can put it in.
They can put it in.
Back in Canada, they put fiber optic all over the city in the early 90s because of cable TV and all that.
Right.
But Australia seems to always be a bit behind. Well, it's still a lot of politics with the national ADSL network.
I could go on forever about that.
you won't, because it's time to say goodbye.
Mm.
Yes, so thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to this first show, yeah.
This was Technogaze on Joy 94.9 with Brendan, Mark, and Paul.
And we'll be back next week at 7 p.m.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.